God's word this morning is coming from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 18, beginning at verse 9. Also, he spake this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself and said, God, I thank you I'm not like other men, extortioners and unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector. I fast twice a week and I give tithes of all that I possess. And the tax collector, standing afar off, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other, for everyone who exalts himself shall be humbled, and who humbles himself will be exalted. Praise be unto God for the reading of his precious and his eternal word. Lord, have mercy. It's just the byword, isn't it? It's sort of like OMG. You see that written down in little capital letters, OMG. And I hear people saying it who don't have any conception of God. They don't talk about God. They don't live for God. They don't work for God. But they'll say, oh, my God. Well, we say that about the Lord, have mercy. Our people in the South sometimes used to say, lawsy mercy. Well, I have to tell you something. It needs to be more than just a byword in your language. Oh my God, you better mean what you say when you say that, because taking his name in vain is more often done that way than it is in what we call cussing. And when you say, Lord have mercy, I want you to think about what you're saying. I distinctly remember the day that our granddaughter, when she was several months old, maybe almost a year, was having a major seizure. It was frightening. If you've ever had a loved one have a seizure and watched it, it is frightening. It's scary. And Kendall was having a major seizure. We didn't know what was going on. You didn't know if she was going to be impaired mentally or physically from the seizure when it was over. I can see yet as Ward and Mimi got in the car, and I stood there and was looking down. The car was sitting below me. He took off the end of the porch steps as he went out. He was terrified, of course. And little Kendall, I can see her laid back in Mimi's arms now, seizing all the same time, not knowing how it was going to go. And I ran in the house, and I still see the frightened look on poor little Benji. And David's face is as they sat on the couch, because they didn't know what to do, and they could see everybody around them was hysterical. And as they sat on the couch and did that, I was the one designated to stay with them and take care of them. And I opened the door and came through the door. I immediately was on my knees, and later on Benji said, Paw, how come that you came in the house and got on the floor and kept saying, Lord, have mercy? Lord, have mercy. I said, son, that's because that was all I knew to say. I didn't know anything else to say. I was in a terrible shape. I didn't know what we were facing. I didn't know what they were facing. And all I could think to say was, Lord, have mercy. I didn't know how to describe it to him. And by the way, when we go to the Lord in prayer, we don't really have to describe it to him, do we? We don't really have to come to him and draw him a picture of it and say, now, God, this is what's happening to me here. Do you understand, God? Can you? I know you want to say that sometimes, and I know you want to say, God, do you really hear me? Are you listening, God? I look here, God, this is black and white. I need A, B, C, and D, and I need you to do it in that order. Well, don't worry about it. There's nothing you can say that will inform God any better than he's already informed. He knows, the scripture said, even before you ask what you need. He knows what your needs are. He knows what's going on in your life. And you don't have to describe it to him, but you have to come to him. And you have to come to him in faith, and you have to come to him in humility. If there's anything God can't stand, it's a proud look. And you know, I wonder about people coming in their attitude to God. What God hears is a humbled heart, a humble and a contrite heart with tears. He understands. You see, folks, mercy is a big thing with God. Now listen to some religious people talk about God, and you'll think that God's big thing is judgment. You would think that God likes lightning bolts and thunderclaps and earthquakes and pestilences and all kinds of horrible things. But I can tell you, my friend, God's number one thing is mercy. If God had not been a merciful God, he'd have zapped Adam and Eve out when they ate the fruit right then and there. But because he was a merciful God, he didn't. If God had not been a merciful God, when he came down and he saw all the horrible things going on the earth in the days of Noah, he would not have waited 120 years while Noah was building the ark to have sent the judgment. He would immediately send a flood. But because he was a merciful God, he gave those people 120 years to hear the message that there was a way to be safe. There was a way to get out of there. You see, mercy is God's big thing. God is into mercy. He's into mercy way before he's ever into judgment. He's into mercy before he's ever into lightning bolts and thunderclaps and earthquakes and all those kind of things. And if you look through the scripture, just open your Bible, open a concordance, and go down the list. And as you look under the word mercy connected with God, you'll find out some wonderful things. Number one, God's mercy is everlasting. Doesn't that impress you? I don't know of anything much that's everlasting. Everything I've got wears out. In fact, it seems to me sometimes like everything we've got is busy wearing out at once. You know, when the refrigerator goes out, why does the stove also have to go out? When the car goes bad, why does also the truck have to go bad? Why does it all have to happen at once? I don't know. But nothing I have is everlasting. My shoes wear out, my clothes wear out, my appliances wear out, my house wears out, and I wear out. Nothing I know of is everlasting except the mercies of God. And the Bible said his mercies are everlasting. In fact, he says that they're new every morning. Isn't that a cool thing? How often is it morning in the world? Always. It's always. You say, well, no, it's midday now. We had morning this morning. Yes, but in California, they're having morning right now. They're having a good time. It's morning. And you know, after a while, they're going to have morning in Hawaii. And then they're going to have morning in China. And then they're going to have morning in India. And then they're going to have morning in Afghanistan and Israel and Europe and Iceland. And then they're going to, you know what? They're going to have morning in New York again. And it's perpetually morning. So when he says his mercies are everlasting and that they're new every morning, wow, God's mercy is continuously new. Wonder why religious people don't concentrate more on mercy than they do. Wonder why we don't talk about it. I mean, sometimes we would think that to be religious and to have Christ in your life and to have your heart right with God, you got to be just a little bit mad and you got to just put a little bit of fire down on people and treat them bad so they'll know how much God hates that old sin that they're committing and he's going to burn them in hell forever. I mean, with that attitude, it's a wonder anybody'd want to be saved. It's a wonder anybody'd want to come to God. Why don't we want to talk about this everlasting, new every morning mercy of God that the Bible says is great? You're not going to exhaust God's pool of mercy. I hear people say, I don't want to bother the Lord with that. Yeah, you tell me the day you bother the Lord. You tell me that when you get so smart, so big, so busy, that you can aggravate God and you can bother the Lord. My friend, God is so much greater than anything we ever think about. It's not funny. His mercies are not just everlasting and new every morning, but His mercies are great. I mean, God's mercies are great. God's mercies are great enough to fill the universe, great enough to forgive principalities and powers and angels and all kinds of things. And you know what else? His mercies are sure. Yeah. I've been watching something stupid, I guess, on PBS. People in Arabia climbing this cliff that I just nearly faint when I see a picture of it from the camera looking off of it, because they're hanging. I never know how a rock climber can put a spike in a rock and hang himself in a basket on it and sleep all night and rest. I can't do that in the bedroom, let alone hanging on the side of a cliff. But when they put that spike in there, they put it in there so that it's sure. Let me tell you, the mercies of God is sure. Now, I may get up this morning and talk to you, and you may have a great attitude toward me, and I say, they just made me feel so good. They were just so great, and they were so kind and tender. And I may meet you in the morning, and you got up on the wrong side of the bed, and your hormones had gone the wrong way, and your hair wouldn't do what it was supposed to do, and I meet you and start talking to you, and your mercies are not sure because you're a different person this morning than you were yesterday morning. Have you ever met that crowd that you had to get up and speak to find out what kind of a day was going to be? Because it was going to change when the wind changed every time. But the mercies of God are sure. They're everlasting. They're new every morning. They're great and they're sure. And one more thing, they're tender. Don't you love that? They're tender. I've wore this story out, and all my stories are getting wore out. I'm going to have to live a lot longer to make some more stories, I guess. But I never forget the day when I was up on the hill with a scythe cutting the brush above the house. We lived over in the other hollow. And Mimi was just a little girl, and she was coming out of Daddy's basement. And as I looked down from the hill, she caught her little hand in the door and slammed it on her hand. And she cried. And when she cried, I dropped the scythe and I covered the whole hill. No, I didn't look for the rattlesnake or the copperhead that might be hiding in the weeds. I didn't look for how steep it was going down. I leaped over that hill and down that hill and went down into that basement entrance and scooped that little girl up in my arms and kissed its little bad hand. And you say, that was awful tender. Yes. And when I picked her up and did that, I heard the Holy Ghost speak in my ear. And He said, as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pities them that fear Him. Praise God. Can you imagine God being tender with me? I, a sinner, far from Jesus, gone astray, and God is willing to pick me up like a daddy and hold me up to His chest and love me with His love and care for me with His care and take care of me. That's our God, folks. That's our God. He don't want to strike you with lightning. He don't want to shake you up with thunder and earthquakes. He wants to hug you and love you and kiss you and care for you. You say, God cares that much about me? God loves you just like He loved Jesus Christ. God the Father in heaven loves you just like He loved His Son, Jesus Christ. If you don't believe that, it's in the Bible. You look it up and see. God loves you that much, my friend. And God in His love for you would be tender to you. He wants to hold you and care for you. Fact is, He likes for you to call Him Abba. We read that scripture. We ran into some people down the coal fields, and they had gotten the Holy Spirit in their life and they were having a big old time in church, but they were up there, kept praying and begging and begging and begging. And they said, what are they praying for? And he said, well, they're praying for the Abba Father. Said the scripture said, you know, later you'd get the Abba Father. Well, I'm sorry that nobody explained to them that they was just repeating two words. But think about it. You don't just say to God, oh, my Father. I mean, if I was God, I would be so outdone with people coming to me. I mean, how would I feel if Odessa come up and said, my Father, I have come up to be with you today. Yeah, you know me and you know Odessa. So that is a joke, isn't it? Well, I'll tell you what. She says, my kids call me and they call me Daddy. That's what the word Abba means. It means Daddy. You see, I can go to God and I can talk to Him because He's going to be tender with me. And I can call Him Daddy. And you say, how could you approach God like that? I can approach God like that because His Son, Jesus Christ, died for me and His blood has covered my sins. And standing before God, I am without sin unto salvation. And I love my Daddy in heaven and He loves me. And I can huddle and cuddle with Him and wrap my arms around Him. And He can wrap His arms around me if we want to. Amen? You see, you say, well, Lord, how are we ever going to come to Him? We come to Him begging His mercy. We come to Him believing His mercy. You know, this man in the story I read today, he said the ultimate thing. You know, we say, Lord, have mercy. We say it over our lottery ticket. We say it over the tire on the car that's going down, and we hope we can get to the filling station before it goes completely flat. We say, Lord, have mercy over everything. But listen, this man said, Lord, have mercy, I'm a sinner. Now we're talking. We come to our Father that loves us and cares with us with this everlasting love. And you say, well, I'm a sinner? Yes. Well, He's going to condemn me. No, He's not. You're already condemned. You were born a condemned sinner. You've lived the life of a condemned sinner. You are already sentenced to the sentence of death. My friend, Jesus did not come to get you for that. Jesus did not come to pick you up and shake you up and change you and treat you bad. Jesus came to this world because you were already condemned. He said so. I came not to condemn the world because you are already condemned who are in the world. He didn't come for that. In fact, I think maybe David grasped a hold a little bit of that when he said, remember me according to your mercies. Wonder what God thinks about when He looks at us. Some of us have got some people in our lives that we can't never look at and not think something bad. We remember something evil they did to us. We remember something hateful they said to us or about us. We remember some event in their life that has put us down. And every time we see them and every time we look at them, we feel bad toward them and we look down on them. But David went to God, and David had sinned. I mean, he had sinned bad. I can't tell you how bad he sinned. You know how bad he sinned. He first of all, he didn't turn his eyes away when he should have. Happened to see his neighbor's wife taking a bath, and he paid attention. And in his paying attention, he lusted. And in his lust, he consummated it. And in the consummation, there became a pregnancy and a child, and a baby was born. And you say, well, I guess David confessed and got right. No, David didn't. David kivered it up, as they say in the country. David covered up his meanness and his ungodliness. He put it away and nobody could tell it. He went to church just like he always had. He sacrificed like he always had. He put on his best robes on the Sabbath morning and walked out and walked over to the tabernacle and did all the religious stuff that he'd do, and the priest did everything. And you say, what brought it to a head? God sent a man of God named Nathan in there, a prophet, and he walked up and told him a little story, and David just blew up. And you say, what was the story? Well, he said, well, it was a rich man that lived, and there was a poor man that lived beside him. poor man didn't have anything. Rich man had flocks and cattle and all kinds of things. But the poor man didn't have anything. He had one little lamb, and it was a pet. It wasn't for to eat or to shear or anything. He had this one little lamb that he loved, and his wife loved it, and his children loved it, and they kept it in the house. Now, you may not like their housekeeping, but they kept the lamb in the house, and they loved on it, and they petted on it. And one day the rich man came and took his lamb away from him and killed it and ate it. Isn't that awful? And David thought it was awful too. And he throwed a fit and said, just let me know exactly who that man is and I'll go get him right now. And Nathan said, you're the man. Thou art the man. And David stood there and looked at him. Man, I tell you, it takes guts to walk up before an absolute monarch like David and point your finger in their face and said, God said that you're a guilty man. Wow. And you say, I thought God was a loving, tender God. He is all of that. If he hadn't been, he'd have struck David dead right there and would have been justified in it. But what happened when Nathan the prophet did that and told him what he had done, David immediately saw his need of God. And immediately David went before God. Read Psalm 51, folks. He immediately went before God. And what was the very, very first thing that he said? He said, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies. Blot out my transgression. Wash me from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. What did he do? He pleaded the mercy of God. The first thing he did was plead the mercy of God and says, remember me. Remember me, God. Not because of this terrible thing I've done, but remember me according to your mercies. Oh, my friend, do we deserve justice or do we deserve mercy? Streets are full of people screaming for justice. People talk about justice all the time and we want justice. My friend, God help you not to get justice for your sins. God help you not to get justice for your sins. Why? Because the Bible says the soul that sinneth shall die. If you get justice for your sins, God will zap you out. But God doesn't want to give you justice for your sins. God wants to give you mercy for your sins. He said, really? Yes. God wants to give you mercy. He doesn't want to give you punishment. He wants to give you forgiveness. And he has provided a way for you to do that. You say, can I get mercy? Can I actually get mercy? Yes, you can. You can get mercy, and there is a way to obtain mercy. Wonder how you can obtain mercy. Blessed are who? The merciful. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Wow. A few weeks ago, phone rang. Voice on the other side was in distress. Wanted me to go and pray and talk to her. It was Hazel Cumby, whose name's on the list because I preached her funeral this week. And I went to her house and found out that she had stage 4 terminal cancer, metastasized from her lungs to her liver and her brain, but her mind was still clear and good. And she wanted to talk about the Lord. And so we had a come to Jesus meeting up at Hope's Chapel. Got down beside her. She was sitting up in a recliner. Started talking about Jesus. Started talking about Jesus saving our souls and forgiving us of our sins. And you say, well, she'd lived all of her life and hadn't gone to church. I don't want to hear that. Please don't say that to me. Please don't say that to me. You say, why not?
because the mercies of God are everlasting. The mercies of God are great. The mercies of God are tender toward us. And listen, my friend, she confessed Jesus as her Lord and her Savior. She asked him to forgive her of all the sins she had ever committed. And then she said, I've been praying already. I said, Hazel, your prayers have already gone through. We're just here confirming them now. And my friend, I could stand up and with assurance of God's word say, this child asked for mercy and was forgiven of her sin. You say, how do you know God forgave her? Did you hear God say, you're forgiven, and shake the whole house? No, my friend. I heard him say in this precious old book that if any man will come to me, I will in no wise cast him out. Hallelujah. You know what I heard him say? I heard him say he'd forgive me of my sins. And I believe if he'd forgive me of mine, he'd forgive Hazel of hers. And I believe he did do it. You see, she didn't need punishment. She needed forgiveness. She didn't need harshness. She needed tenderness. She needed God's Spirit and God's power to come in her life. And you know what? When I left that day and walked off of the hill back to my truck, you know what? I left her with the peace of God that passes all understanding. Her sins were gone, and her name was written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I believe that because God said so. You see, there's a thing you can do. You say, what do I do when I go to court and I'm guilty, but I don't know what to do, and I can't afford a lawyer, and I can't do this and that. My friend, what do you do when you come before the great court of the great King of the universe, and he's got a record of every thought you ever thought, and every word you ever said, and every deed you ever committed? My friend, you throw yourself on the mercy of the court. You throw yourself on the mercy of the court, and you acknowledge, I have sinned, and I have come short of your glory, and I have sinned against you, Father. But I ask you, in your tender mercies, will you wrap your arms around me, and will you forgive me of my sins, and will you take me in? And my friend, I assure you he will. I assure you he will. Would you give God a hand? Hallelujah. My friend, we're not looking for an apology. We're not looking for you to say, I'm sorry of this event or that event. We're looking for you to repent of your sins and ask Jesus to come in and take over your life. And my friend, he'll do it. He'll do it. Would you believe me today? Would you believe me? And if you're listening by radio or you're listening by the internet or wherever you're listening, this is a message for you. And wherever you are, and I know that there are people in other states and maybe even other continents that are hearing the message on the web this morning, and I'm thankful the gospel can go out. But I can tell you, whoever you are, wherever you are, whatever you've done, that God is a good God and God loves you and Jesus died for you. Open up your heart and let him come in. Would you stand with me this morning? Amen. Have you got somebody in your life you know that's not ready to meet God, but you'd like for God to touch their life this morning? Would you raise your hand? Amen. And if this morning God touches your heart and you need to repent, we invite you to come. Father, in the precious name of Jesus, whom you sent to live and to die for us, we come into your presence this morning and ask that the Holy Spirit of God will touch hearts and souls and lift burdens from people's lives. Father, let us recognize what a great and a good God you are, and that you are full of tender mercies. Be with us now, Lord. Sanctify us and touch us with your glory, for we ask it in Jesus' name. And the congregation said, amen. Amen.